What is with joy, my brothers and sisters, that we celebrate Mass today, 50 days having elapsed since the resurrection. We celebrate Pentecost, that day which marks the start of the universal mission of the Church, a mission that can overcome human obstacles because it has the Holy Spirit as its driving force. The mighty breath of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit's presence descends with a loud roar upon the apostles and the disciples who are gathered in prayer around the Blessed Mother Mary in that upper room. Remember that by themselves, the 12 were not in a position to publicly proclaim the messianic kingdom of God. They were, as the gospel says, in fear. But look at what difference the Holy Spirit makes in their lives as we begin that reading of the Acts of the Apostles, our first reading, and we hear how Peter boldly proclaims the truth, how the apostles are speaking in every tongue to all these people from around the world gathered to worship at the mountain of God. Psalm 104 reminds us that this Holy Spirit, this breath of God, which was given not only to the disciples, but which is given to all of us. All Christians have received this in baptism. This is the same Spirit, Psalm 104 says, that sustains the constant renewal of all things. How good it is to remember on this day when we celebrate the birth of the Church, and we are reminded, of course, that the Church cannot live without the Spirit vivifying her, that truly all of creation depends upon God's willing it into existence, that Holy Spirit which roared over the waters of Genesis continues to sustain the world, whether the world wants to acknowledge it or not. God is present and loving the world. And so we see in the Gospel of John not only the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the Blessed Mother and the disciples on Pentecost, but we see that foretaste of the descent, as St. John says, he breathed on them. This is another way that the Holy Spirit is given to those apostles, that the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, breathes on the apostles to impart upon them the Holy Spirit. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descends upon them not only to give them the authority, but also to give them the power. The power, as it says, to forgive and to retain sins. The power to fulfill the mission which is entrusted to them by our Lord Himself. Jesus is breathing on the apostles while they are huddled in the upper room, should bring to our minds that other breathing upon man in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 when God breathes onto that first man new life. So just as Adam's life came from God, so now the disciples' new spiritual life comes directly from God. That God is vivifying them, working within them, acting in them, empowering them, giving them His authority to be His witnesses, to be His hands, His feet, His arms, His legs in the world today. And so we see why Pentecost is considered the birth of the Church. We want to remember then that our baptismal consecration, which is given over our lives to Christ, to serve Christ, cannot be separated from our baptismal consecration to give our lives to serve His Church. As St. Paul tells us in the second reading, the two are but one. The Church is the body of Christ. The Spirit of God vivifies the Church and gives it her form. And so one of the main themes which permeates the writings of St. Ignatius of Loyola, I think, are particularly appropriate for us to consider today. St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits, which as we all know is the order to which our Holy Father belonged up until his consecration as bishop, one of his main themes he would always write about was sentire cum ecclesia, or to think with the Church. Sentire cum ecclesia could also mean to feel with the Church, to love the Church. And so on this Pentecost day, we are once again invited to walk with the Church, to breathe with the Church, to hope with the Church, to feel with the Church. Sentire cum ecclesia. And so we should ask ourselves, as of right now, this moment, What does the church mean for me as an individual? We could ask ourselves, what is my personal relationship with the church? Do I really see myself as a living cell within her members, as a living part of that body? We could ask ourselves, do I love the church? And conversely, do I feel loved by the church? We want to think that the church, the body of Christ, loves each and every one of us with the love of Christ. And so we should feel loved by the church. And we should want to reciprocate that love back, to respond to that love. We think about the description that is given by our Lord. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. The Father, he says, abides in me and I abide in the Father. And he promises to have that same relationship with us. He says, I will come and live with you, and you will live in me, and you will be in the Father, and the Father will be in you. How is this all possible? It's because of the Holy Spirit. That living bond between the Father and the Son, which he desires to share with us, which he does give to us in our baptism, which he strengthens within us through all of the sacraments. We have that gift which is the greatest gift of God giving himself to us, to live in us, to recreate in us his own image and likeness. And so we want to think, especially here at the Church of Our Lady of Hope, that this Holy Spirit ought to be giving all of us a great hope. Now, in the world of sound bites in which we live, hope usually means that we just make ourselves believe that everything's going to be okay in the end, that everything will turn out all right. And we use that word hope very lightly and very cheaply. But that is not the hope which Pope Benedict came to proclaim when he came to the Americas, about 5 years ago, and he said he came to proclaim Christ our hope. That is not the hope which the Christians truly speak of. When we speak of hope, we want it to be not something light and cheap, but we want to remember that it is one of the three theological virtues, that this is something very deep and something very real. The great Jesuit Father John Hardin, who wrote and explained the Catholic faith so beautifully, gave a beautiful definition of hope that I'd like to share with you. He defined hope as the confident desire of obtaining a future good that is difficult to attain. It is therefore a desire which implies seeking and pursuing some future good that is not yet possessed but wanted. Unlike fear that shrinks from a future evil, this future good draws out a person's volition, their will. Hope is confident that what is desired will certainly be attained. It is the opposite of despair. Yet it recognizes that the object wanted is not easily obtained, and that it requires effort to overcome whatever obstacles stand in the way. My brothers and sisters, on this feast of Pentecost, as we celebrate the birthday of the church, we want to ask God for an increase in the virtue of hope. But we also want to then commit ourselves to what Father Hardin says is necessary for one who has hope. That is, that effort to overcome whatever obstacles stand in our way. You and I know that there are obstacles. But we want to be so firmly convinced of the future good that our will desires to overcome those obstacles. We want to remember that the theological virtue of hope is given to us directly by God. And so if you feel like you don't have enough hope, ask for it. That's why we make the act of hope. Asking the Lord to give us that great desire. Asking the Lord to inflame our will. Asking the Lord to give us that which we are lacking. He desires to do so. We can think that God sent his Spirit upon the apostles, and Jesus said, it is better for you that I do this than anything else. As he sent the Spirit upon the apostles and the disciples and the Blessed Mother in that upper room, so he also wants to continue to renew that sending of the Spirit into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, so that we can go out into the deep, so that we can let down our nets to the catch, so that we can continue to fulfill the mission of the church here in our own lives, here in Potomac Falls, here in Sterling, here in Herndon, here wherever we find ourselves working, breathing, shopping, living, bringing the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ, that good news, to all men and women. This is what Pentecost is all about. At that first Pentecost, the people from all the worlds were already present there in Jerusalem. As we continue to celebrate Pentecost, now the church has spread throughout all the world and is continuing to have that same mission to bring people the knowledge of Jesus. And so you and I need to pray that that Spirit will descend and dwell within us, will inflame us with His love and empower us to go forth to be messengers of hope. And so we could pray today, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and reignite in us the fire of your love. Make us joyful witnesses to your hope in the church. Lord, send your Spirit and renew the face of the earth, the face of our church, the face of our community, our own faces. Renew our own hearts so that we may love and be transformed by your love to share that love with others. Amen.